have a part on that song.
Really? I just told Brother Jake I really want to sing this song. I just want to stand here for moral support. But anyway, I love that song. I love what that song means. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel 6. Everybody ought to know what we're talking about tonight. Amen. Daniel chapter number 6, very familiar passage of Scripture. I learned it when I was in elementary school. Most of y'all did too. It's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den. And I know most of y'all's probably heard 1,500 messages out of Daniel in the lion's den. But please just don't turn your hearing aids off for you younger people. Don't turn your attention off. Okay, just give me a few minutes, and the Lord stirred this in my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, because it was for me. And tonight, I'm not necessarily going to challenge you, although I hope parts of the message challenge you. I hope my prayer for tonight is, and what the Lord's kind of put on my heart, is to encourage you tonight, to encourage you. In Daniel chapter number 6, we all know the story. But in verse number 1, the Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." I hope that can be said of me. Amen. I hope, my hope and prayer, I go when I get the opportunity to go with my dad, or if I get to go myself and preach somewhere, my prayer is always, if the message don't help them, Lord, help my spirit, Lord, to help somebody. How many of y'all ever shook somebody's hand and their spirit just helped you, amen? It was just something about their smile. It was just something about the way they said, "How you doing?" That spoke to you, amen? I hope that even if I'm not preaching, Brother Richard, I can help somebody. I hope my spirit helps somebody. You don't have to be a preacher to help somebody. You can be walking through Walmart. You can be walking through Winn-Dixie or the Piggly Wiggly, and your spirit can help somebody. And I pray that that could be said of me, that his spirit helped me, amen? Verse number 4, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." I want you to know, in life, there's always going to be them kind of people, amen? They don't care about you. They don't care about your problems. All they want to do is hurt you, amen? And it's sad that that's the way it is, but we all face it, and that's what we all have to deal with in this thing we call life, amen? But they could not find none occasion nor fault. Now, here's where me and Daniel differ. Brother Mark, if somebody wants to find fault in me, they don't have to look far. Amen. But in Daniel's life, an encouragement, what a fresh breath of air Daniel is, because the Bible says that these men wanted to ruin his life and wanted to hurt him, but they couldn't find any fault in him. For as much as he was, look at his next word, faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We should not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Now that was a lie. At the beginning of that verse, they said all the presidents of the kingdom. Guess who wasn't invited to that party? Daniel. So they straight up just lied to the king. And I've seen this, and I'm not even going to get into this because it ain't my place, but I've seen it in the church. Somebody come up to you and say, "Now there's been a few people we've been talking, and there's some people that's came to me about a problem that we're seeing in the church." Ain't nobody come to you. You got the problem, amen? And that's how these men was. They said, well, I've been talking to all the presidents and all the princes in the kingdom. You ain't been talking to nobody. You got a problem with Daniel's favor, and you want that favor for yourself, amen? Then said these men, what was that? I'm in the wrong place. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So back in these days, once the Medes and the Persians made a law and they signed it in the writing, it couldn't be changed, not even by the king. Verse number 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, that just makes me want to shout, amen. Toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his gods as he did aforetime. Now, I don't believe Daniel went up to his room and put his window up and hung his head out the window and started praying, being obnoxious and being prideful. I believe Daniel opened his window every day. And this was just another day. He went up to his house. He put his windows up towards Jerusalem and he prayed every single day. I don't think that he did this out of spite. I think he did this out of routine. Amen. Verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They called him. Amen. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any God or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now we all know the story. And I just wanted to give a little background and just to set the scene, to put our minds into this story as we're reading this story, because so many times we've heard this story so many times that if we're not careful, we'll just say Daniel was put in the lion's den, God saved him, and it was over with. But there was more to it than that. So I wanted to put ourselves in the story. I like to read and I like to put myself in the story. And so up until this point, Daniel is doing everything he's supposed to do. Daniel is serving God like he's supposed to serve God. And because of jealousy, cause of envy, these men set a trap for Daniel. And because Daniel was a man of God, he continued to do what he always done. And because of that, he was in trouble. Now that the king has no other choice, he cannot change the law. He's got to do what he signed into the law, and that is to put Daniel into the den of lions. Now tonight, what I want to preach on, just for a minute, and I'm not going to be long, but just for a minute, I want to preach on this. When you're in the den. When you're in the den. Now the word den, if you look it up, the word den means pit or cave. And we've seen a lot of pits and caves throughout the Bible up until this point. Some of y'all probably are thinking of a few right now. But pits and caves and dens are just a part of life. Amen. Now, I don't know of anybody in here. I've never met anybody that's been thrown into a den of lions, mostly because we live in South Georgia. All right. But I've never met anybody that's been thrown into a pit and left and sold into slavery. I've never met anybody. I've never met anybody that was running for their life from a man who was against God and against everything he believed in and hiding in a cave. I've never had to do that. But there have been some times in my life where I felt like, Brother Jake, I was stuck. There have been some times in my life where I felt like I was in a spot where I couldn't get out. I was in a spot of danger. I was in a spot of discouragement. Has anybody ever felt that way besides me? And I try to warn these young people, Miss Julie, but they will never understand until they're having the experience for themselves. I remember my youth pastors as I was growing up, Brother Jim, they try to tell me, y'all don't know nothing about life. And you know, us kids, we think, you know, whatever, you know, we know everything. We've seen y'all's lives. We've got it all under control. And then I move out my parents' house and whop, reality slaps me right in the face. Amen. And that's just part of life. And I can remember moving out of my parents' house and I was in a place of a den. I was in a place of a pit. I was in a place of discouragement. I remember moving out and I was excited about going to preacher college and excited about the calling that God had put on my life. And I get out and y'all have heard me tell the story before, and I thought, man, this is going to be great. This is a chance for me to grow up. And I remember as soon as, I'm going to say this because my dad's not here, but as soon as my dad and mom left, I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. I'm telling you what, it broke my heart. There was nobody there. I lived 5 hours away from anybody that I knew. And I remember sitting there in that recliner. I remember sitting there so discouraged. I thought, man, this ain't like it was when my dad went to college. This ain't like it was when we was all a family up here and we was all together and we didn't know anybody, but we had each other. And I'm out here by myself. And man, I felt like I was in a den. I felt like I was in a pit. And there's times in my life since then that I've felt that way. And so many times we feel trapped, we feel bombarded with life, and we feel overwhelmed with life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if Daniel can make it through the lion's den, we can too. We can too. Now, it might not be a lion's den. I don't go try it. Amen. But listen, if you have a trouble in your life, some of you, you come to talk to me and you say, Brother Dalton, I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what we're going to do. I talked to a lady this week. I just don't know what I'm going to do. This happened and now this has happened. I talked to a young man this week and he said, I don't know why this is happening. I just got through a trial and now here comes another one. I literally talked to somebody this week that told me those exact words. He was actually, and this is just, I'm just being honest with you, this man was on the verge of blaming God for the problem that he was facing. Listen, we all face problems. We all face problems. Some of y'all, listen, I know some of y'all older Christians in here, I'll say that politely. Older Christians in here, you got your arms crossed and you say, them kids just don't know what problems is. But to them kids, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Now, it's not a big deal to you because you know that this too shall pass and everything's going to be okay. And that girl that broke your heart or that little boy that broke your heart, you're not even going to remember what their last name is in 10 years. So just move on. But to them, that's a big deal. To them, that's not getting the bills paid. To them, that's a big deal to them. And so I believe it doesn't matter how old you are or what your background is or how young you are in here tonight. Listen, we all face dens. We all face hard times. So I want to give you a few things that I just pulled out of Daniel's life that God's given me as I was reading this story. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. So we'll jump right into it. Number one. Now, these aren't homiletical, Brother Mark. Just forgive me, okay? These aren't homiletical two-word points. I kind of like this. Sometimes I do it with the youth group. I just like it because sometimes when I'm trying to alliterate things, I lose the punch. Amen. And I don't want to lose the punch. I want to say it to you just like God said it to me. Okay. So number one, just because you're in a den doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Just because you're in a den does not mean you're out of the will of God. Daniel here is right smack dab, y'all know what that means? Yep. Right smack dab in the middle of God's will for his life, and all of a sudden, boom, he's in a den. Amen. So hey, some of us, we including myself, we say, man, I don't understand why God is allowing me to go through this. I mean, I sing in the choir, I preach to the youth group, I do everything I'm supposed to, I try to, and I'm a good person, I try to be in the will of God, and here I am in a den, am I doing something wrong? And sometimes I lay in my bed, Miss Dina, and I get so discouraged because I think there must be something I'm doing wrong. There must be something I'm doing wrong. But as I read this story, the Lord told me, look, just because you're in the den does not mean you're out of my will. Daniel here was right in the middle of God's will. And just because you're in a den does not mean that you're out of the will of God. Now, it could mean that you're out of the will of God, but it does not necessarily mean that you're out of the will of God. Don't live your life in discouragement because that you're facing problems. Just because you face problems, guess what? This is deep. You've never heard it before now. But if you face a problem, You are normal. You are normal. If you have, hey, listen, if you struggle with something, guess what? You're normal. If you're married, sometimes you get in arguments. I'm not going to say what I really want to say right now, but you're normal. You're normal. It's part of life. It's part of being a man. It's part of being a woman. Amen. If you fight, you're normal. I'm learning this. If your kids don't listen to what you say, if they look at you with Satan eyes, you're normal. You're normal. I used to, Miss Jenny and Jake, y'all help me right here. How many times did we say back in the day, how many times did we say this? My child will never talk to me that way. Yeah. Okay. My son has the worst attitude and mouth of anybody. I feel bad that your kids hang out with my son. I'm like, I almost want to tell him, like, look, just don't hang out with him. He's a bad kid, okay? But guess what? I'm normal. I'm normal. He's just being a kid. And listen, it's my job to discipline him, and I know all that, but I'm just telling you, problems happen. Problems happen. My father-in-law gave me perhaps the best advice that I've ever gotten in my whole entire life. Young people, listen right here. Write it down. Embrace the chaos. That's what he told me. I said, Mr. Joey, give me some good advice to deal with your daughter for the rest of my life. How do I do it? He said, son, just embrace it. Just embrace the chaos. Listen, you're going to go to a restaurant you think is going to be the best thing in the world. When you pull up, she's going to say, I ain't eating here. Just embrace it. Say, yes, dear. Go find you another restaurant. Amen. Guess what? I'm normal. I'm normal. Hey, listen. Especially when me and Lauren first started, when we first got married, listen, we couldn't hardly pay for our bills. Guess what? We were normal. We're normal. That's part of life. That's part of being a man and being a woman. There's times where you struggle. Listen, there's times where you don't understand. But that don't mean you're out of the will of God. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Just, number one, just because you're in a den doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. How many of y'all know if it was us, if we was Daniel or if we were Joseph and we had to be put into a pit or be put into a den, we wouldn't be as friendly as they were, amen? We would struggle with it. I'm just being honest. But man, what an example to look at here in Daniel's life, how he handled his den. Don't let your perspective, don't let this affect your purpose or destroy your purpose. Just because you're in a den, don't doubt your purpose. Amen. I thought about this. Moses got put into a basket. Moses didn't do nothing wrong because he was a baby. Amen. Moses was put into a basket. Joshua had to try to lead in a wilderness. He was in the middle of God's will. He was one that said, we can do this. But he was still where? In a wilderness. In a den. I thought about Joseph in the pit. God gave him this big old dream. A God-sized dream of what he was going to do with his life. And then he's in a pit. He didn't do anything wrong. But he's in a pit. Job sat in the ashes. He didn't do anything wrong. Bible says, Brother Jeremy, this is the most confusing verse I've ever read in the Bible. The Bible says that Job sat in the ashes and worshiped.
That's right.
How do you do that? Brother Mark, how do you lose your family and everything that you ever known and sit down in the ashes and just start worshiping? I noticed David hid in the cave. God had already anointed him. He knew where he was headed. God had revealed to him the plan he had for his life. And yet he's stuck hiding in a cave. You know what? That's a den. Three Hebrew boys thrown into a fire for just doing simply what we're all called to do. And that's stand up for God. I thought about the disciples on the sea. Jesus literally constrained them to get into the boat. In other words, they were absolutely in the will of God. and yet they're in the middle of the sea in a storm. They were in a den. I thought about Paul in prison. He was literally in prison for fulfilling the calling of God on his life. Yet he sang praises at midnight. There's a way to handle your prison. There's a way to handle your den. Don't doubt your calling. Don't doubt God's will when you're in the den. Number one, just because you're in a den doesn't always mean you're out of the will of God. Number two, I like this one. Number two, just keep doing for God what you've always been doing for God. Just keep doing for God what you've always been doing for God. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write this down. Daniel didn't start praying in the den. He kept praying in the den. I love that. Daniel didn't start praying in the den. He kept praying in the den. When you get into a den in your life, when you're in a prison, when you're in a basket, when you're in a stormy sea, just keep doing for God what you've always been doing for God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, keep on teaching. If you sing in the choir, get up here with your Red Owl coffee and you smile and you sing to the glory of God. Amen. If you're an usher, do it to the glory of God. If you're on the care team, stand up and do it for the glory of God. If you make the best coffee, not Red Owl coffee, but the best coffee, on Sunday mornings, every morning, do it to the glory of God and keep on doing it because that's what God has you doing and just keep on doing it. Amen. Daniel didn't start praying when he got to the den. He just kept on doing what he was already doing. And this could be flip-flop both ways. So many people, they don't pray until they get into a den. They're like, I don't need God until I need God. And then I need God. Amen. We ought to be praying now. We ought to be praying and thanking God and worshiping God now. Amen? And then some people, they pray until they get into a den and then they get mad at everything and they quit praying and they move away from God. Listen, both of them are wrong. Our calling in life and our duty is to pray, to worship, to give God honor, not just when we're in the den, not just when we're in the palace. But at all times, amen? So keep doing what you've always been doing, amen? Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Now we're in chapter number 6, but Daniel is still living the commitment that he made to God in chapter number 1. Listen, some of us have made commitments to God way back in another chapter in our life and we're not fulfilling those obligations that we've made to Him. Some of you said a few months ago, maybe in revival, you said, Lord, I'm going to spend more time with You. I'm going to do more at the church. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do more. I'm going to try my best to do a better job for You. Let me ask you this question. Are you still hanging on to that commitment? Are you still doing the things that you told God you were going to do? Daniel here, even in a den in his life, he was still doing it. He was still doing it. Amen. Are you still faithful in your den? Number one, just because you're in a den doesn't always mean you're out of the will of God. Number two, just keep doing for God what you've always been doing for God. Number three, the den seems like it lasts forever, but morning will come. Verse number 19, the Bible says, this is after Daniel's been put in the lion's den. This is the next morning. Look what it says. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, I don't know how Daniel, I'm not going to speak on Daniel's behalf because it really doesn't give us much information about what happened down there in the middle of the night. But I wonder how Daniel felt down there. I wonder how Daniel felt, especially for them first few minutes When he got down there and no lions come after him, he was probably thinking, well, they're going to get hungry in a minute. Well, this is it. And listen, this is what I want to encourage you with tonight. Listen, no matter how dark it is, no matter how much danger's around you, if you'll hold on, morning's coming. Morning is coming. Daniel, the very next morning, was able to get out of that lion's den. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord ain't going to leave you right there. This too shall pass. The Bible says, Psalms chapter number 30, verse number 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to encourage you, if you're in a den in your life, if you're in a troubled time in your life, if you're in a storm in your life, if you're in a pit in your life, if you're in a wilderness in your life, just hold on. Just hold on, because right now all you can see is the problem, all you can see is the weeping, all you can see is the trouble, but if you'll just hold on, morning is coming, amen? Morning is coming. Aren't you glad lion's dens don't last forever, amen? Number four, there will always be people watching the way you handle your den. There will always be people watching the way you handle your den. We just read it. The king comes running back to the den the next day and he says, this is what he says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, this is what he says, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee? You know what was happening right here? This king was waiting and watching. And we're going to find out in a minute. He was fasting. He couldn't sleep the whole night. You want to know why? Because he was thinking about, he was wondering how God was going to deliver Daniel. You know there's people all out in this world, and they see you go to church every Sunday, they ain't worried about that. They see you sing in the choir every Sunday. They ain't worried about that. But when they know you're going through something, you know what they're doing? They're sitting there like that. Let's see what God does now. And let me ask you this question. Are you going to be a good example of what God can do? Are you going to be a bad example of what God can do? How will you react to your den? How will you react to that wilderness? Because there's people all around you that are watching to see how you handle your den. There's children. If you're a parent, your children are watching how you handle the troubles of life. If you're a leader in this church, our church is watching the way you handle the dens of life. If you're a grandparent, if you're a coworker, if you're a spouse, believe it or not, your spouse watches the way you handle problems. How do people see you in your den? How do you handle your den? Amen? There's people watching you. My kids copy everything I do. My son, he loves to play golf probably more than I do. And Brother Mark, you'll understand this. I don't wear my golf shoes to the course. I wear my flip-flops. Don't judge me. All right? I wear my flip-flops, or I wear my Crocs, or I wear my Hey Dudes, and then when I get to the course, Brother Jim, I slip into my golf shoes. Wyatt ain't got no golf shoes because they don't make them in his size yet. He's still got a couple sizes before he can get some shoes. But that don't matter to him. He wants to put his tennis shoes in the car and wear his flip-flops to the golf course. And then when we get to the golf course, he wants to put his tennis shoes on. Amen. You want to know why? Because he wants to be like me, because that's what Daddy does. Brother Mark, this drives me insane, but I mark my ball when I get to the green and I fix my divot. This boy don't make no divots. This boy don't need to mark his ball. He needs to hurry up and get back on the cart and get out of my way. Amen? But he wants, Daddy, I want one of them coins that you use. I want one of them coins. I want to be like you. And everything my wife will tell you, tonight, I am not even lying, my wife will tell you. What was he wearing when he got ready? Say it louder. A suit and tie. He's going out there to play with your mom, Miss Ellen. And he's going to be out there sweating and running around and playing football. And he's got on a suit and a tie. And he's got on his nice dress shoes. And I said, White, you can't wear that. And he said, well, I'm not going to be handsome. And he marches. And he marches to his room. And I said, just go get you some gym shorts and a t-shirt on. And put your tennis shoes on. But you know why he wears a suit? Because I wear a suit. And he does everything that I do. He copies everything that I do. And it scares me half to death. Amen. Because I have to watch what I watch on TV. I have to watch what I listen to in the car. I have to watch the way I talk to his mama. I have to watch the way I talk to other people around me, because guess what? I might be kidding with his mama when I say, shut your mouth. And then guess what he's going to say to his mama the next day? Shut your mouth. And then she looks at me, and now we're both in trouble. Amen. Now we're both in trouble. You want to know why? Because he does everything I do. He wants to be like daddy. He wants to do what daddy does. And as much as that scares me, that ought to scare all of us. Amen. Because there's young people looking up to us. There's co-workers looking up to us. There's spouses looking up to us. There's grandkids looking up to us. And the way we handle our den and our troubles and our trials greatly affects how they will handle their troubles and trials. Amen. There will always be people watching you. Number five, there are people praying and pulling for you to make it through. When we get into the den, how many of y'all have been guilty of falling into this mindset of, man, here I am again all alone. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows how hard this is on me. Nobody gets to see the other side. You even get mad about it. Anybody ever got mad about it? Nobody knows what I'm going through. Right? But guess what? There's somebody that's pulling for you. They say, listen, if nobody on this earth's pulling for you, he is, amen. Jesus is. And I've learned in my life, and listen, I've learned in my life that 99% of the time, there's somebody on this earth pulling for me. And I'm thankful that a lot of y'all in this room are part of that club, amen, that pull for me. And I appreciate that. Y'all don't even know how much that means. Y'all don't even know how much that means to have somebody come up and say, man, I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. You're doing good. Because guess what? They didn't know what I was going through, but they's pulling for me. Amen. I remember when I moved to college, we're hoping to move before too long. And so we've been doing some cleaning out and going through things. And I was going through an old box that had a bunch of memories in it. And I'm not even lying. There was five or six cards in there from Miss Pat Ziegler from when I was in college. And I unfortunately got the privilege to preach at Miss Pat's funeral. But when I was in college, sitting in that stupid recliner with that dog all by myself, that mailman knocked on the door and handed me a note from Miss Pat. And if you know Miss Pat, she didn't have a dollar to her name. She didn't ever send me no money, Brother Mark. Other people sent me money. I appreciate that. But I'd open that card and she'd say, we haven't forgot about you down here in South Georgia. We love you. We're praying for you. Calvary's praying for you. We love you. And that note right there meant the world to me. I still got them today. I told my wife, I said, don't throw them away. I want to put them in my desk. I need to pull them out and read them every now and then and remind myself there's somebody pulling for me. And if it ain't one of y'all, he is. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you tonight. There's somebody pulling for you. It's dark. You feel like you're alone. You feel like you can't even talk to your spouse about it. You feel like you can't even talk to your friends about it. You can't talk to your preacher about it. Listen, there's somebody pulling for you. Amen. And then lastly, this is the deepest point I got. Y'all ready? Y'all ain't never heard nothing like what I'm fixing to tell you. This is going to shock you to the bone what Daniel did when he was in the den. Y'all ready for this? This is my last point. Verse number 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Listen to this. Because he believed in his God. Y'all ready? This is deep. This is deep. Get your waders on. This is deep right here. All right? When you get in the den, just believe God. Just believe God. You say, well, that's simple. I already knew to do that. Well, why ain't you been doing it? Why ain't you been doing it? Why you been whining? Why you been complaining? Why can't you sleep? If you believe God, you can lay in a den of lions and sleep like a baby. Amen. Because you know that the God that was with you when He called you, the God that was with you when you purposed in your heart, amen, the God that made you a president and a governor, the God that moved you up in the rankings and gave you favor, that same God is going to be in that same den with you no matter how dark it is, no matter how cold it is, no matter how much danger is around you. There's a God, and if you'll just trust Him, if you'll just believe in God, if you'll just trust that He knows what He's doing, you're going to make it, amen. You're going to make it. I know that den's dark. I know you've been struggling. I know, I think Brother Jake said you done had a bunch of Mondays. Just hang on. Just believe God. Because the same God that saved you is the same God that'll keep you, amen. There was Jesus in every moment of my life. It didn't matter if it was a den, if it was a basket, if it was a prison, if it was a pit, amen. If it was on a stormy sea of my life, God has always been there for me. It didn't matter if I was sitting in a freezing cold apartment with no heat, in an old nasty recliner, God was there, amen. God was there every step of the way. And I promise you this, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll just believe God, if you'll just believe God, well, what happens if this is it? Just believe God. If that's it, then that's it. Just believe God. Well, I'm worried to death about, just believe God. I can't sleep. Just believe God. Believe God. Well, it's easy for you to stay standing up there behind that pulpit. You're right. It is easy to say and it's harder to live. But I want to encourage you. You can do it. You can do it. Brother Jake's coming to guitar. You can do it. You can make it. Daniel, I'm sure everybody around Daniel thought, well, it was good knowing old Daniel. He was a good old boy. But Daniel believed God. Daniel believed God. He trusted God. Ask you this question. Are you believing God in your den tonight? Are you believing God in that trouble? Listen, I'm not asking you to come to me after the service and tell me how bad it is. That's between you and the Lord. I will tell you this. I can make you a guarantee. I can make you a promise. I can make you a promise. He sees you. He sees you. I was just reading, I almost preached on Hagar. I really did. The God, she said, she was out there in that wilderness, and she said, He's the God who sees me. He's the God who sees you. He's the God who created everything, but Brother Jeremy, He sees you too. He knows every, I almost had KK sing the song, He knows my name. He knows every tear I cry. He knows why I'm worrying. He knows my finances. Are y'all with me? He knows the problems I have with my family. He knows the struggle that I have with my children. He knows every single thing about me. He sees where I'm at. And He sees where you're at. And I promise you, I guarantee you, if you'll believe Him, if you'll trust Him, it'll shock you at what God will do. Like I said, I can't speak on Daniel's behalf because I never met the man. But it wouldn't surprise me, Brother Mark, if he said, this is it. I guarantee you he didn't go down in that den thinking, well, when I get down there, them lions ain't going to be hungry. I'm just going to sit down there and I'm going to have me a good night's rest and King will come get me in the morning. No, he probably thought this is it, just like you're thinking. He probably thought the same thing about his den that you're thinking about yours. But yet he still, the Bible says, be called. That's a big word. He was safe because he believed God. He was safe because, that's a big word. Because he believed God. Are you believing God in your den tonight? Are you believing God in that wilderness and that trouble and that trial? Just believe Him. Just trust Him. Just keep doing what you've always been doing. Just because you're in that den don't mean you're out of the will of God. Just hang in there. There's people pulling for you. There's people that want to see you succeed. There's people that want to see you do something for God. Just hang in there. Just hang in there, church. Amen. Let's pray. Maybe there's somebody in the den tonight. Maybe you want to come around this altar and say, Lord, I'm in a den and I'm worried and I'm scared and I don't understand and I'm tired, but I believe you. And I believe your word is true. Lord, thank you for tonight. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this encouragement. Lord, so many of us, so many times, Lord, face a den. We face a trouble. We face a trial, Lord, that rocks us. Rocks our world. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe it was a disappointment. God, I pray, Lord, that our den wouldn't be the end. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we're all of us, at some point in our life, we're going to face a trouble. We're going to face a trial. We're going to face an uncertainty. I pray that you'd help every single one of us, Lord, just to believe you. Whatever happens, Lord, I believe God. Lord, just like Paul, before he was shipwrecked, as he stood out on the front of that ship, he said, I believe God. Lord, help me to have that same mindset. Lord, help me to have that same attitude of Paul. Lord, that no matter what prison, no matter what storm, I believe God. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what a great example Daniel sets before us. Lord, as he shows us how to stand for you. Lord, how to continue on. How to handle a den. Lord, I pray that you'd help every single one of us as we go this week, as we leave this week, as we try to make it. Lord, just help us when we're in the den, just to trust you, just to believe in you. Lord, we thank you for tonight.